at today. 2 weeks ago, we talked through the armor of God, and we're going to continue that. And the reason that I want to continue it is because it's so, first of all, we didn't make it all the way through, but second of all, it's so appropriate for what just happened down here. Because what we talked about 2 weeks ago is we talked about how God's truth is what holds the armor together, that everything is based on understanding who God says you are and being able to walk in the confidence that that brings, that it's not actual physical armor that we put on, but instead, as we learn to understand the Word of God, we get this armor on us that protects us, that keeps us, that gives us confidence in the storms of life, that helps us when things are good or when things are bad, and helps us to go forward in the victory that God has given us. Sorry, I'm just going to grab a drink really quick. And so what we want to do then, all right, we're getting all settled here. So God gave us this analogy through the Apostle Paul of this idea of armor. And again, it's in Ephesians chapter 6. So hopefully you guys are all there. Because the armor protects us. It gives us confidence. So as we learn to walk in our armor, as we learn to understand what it is, we understand that we can have confidence through the different things that life throws at us. And when Pastor Tiffany gave that altar call today, and she's talking about, you know, people that are struggling in different areas of their mind, that's what the armor is designed for. That's what we're here for. That's what God wants for us. He wants to give us the tools to be able to break the chains of the enemy. Ephesians 6 says it like this. We're going to read out of the New International Version, so we can go ahead and put those scriptures up on the screen. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And what we talked about last 2 weeks ago was that these are the methods that the enemy uses in order to try and trick us, to lie to us, and to manipulate us. That when we go through life, we'll have seasons where we're tired. We'll have seasons where we're hungry. We'll have seasons where where there's so much stress going on that we just don't know if we can handle everything that's coming at us. We'll have seasons where it just feels like you're exhausted. You're running on fumes, running on empty. And during those seasons is when the enemy chooses to attack. And it's during those seasons when we see the enemy at work in our lives, trying to lie to us, trying to trick us, trying to keep us from everything that God has for us. And so he says, put on the full armor of God. We're gonna gird our minds. We're gonna reinforce our minds so that we can take control, so that we can stand against the schemes of the enemy. He says, because our struggle isn't against flesh and blood. Even though it feels like everything is going wrong, everything is coming against you, even though it feels like your boss is being mean to you and your mom just doesn't understand what's going on, and it feels like your girlfriend is listening to the lies of those other people, and you're like, and everything feels like it's direct, it's personal, and it's physical, the Bible says that there's a spiritual component to everything that we're going through. That all of these things have a spiritual aspect to them. And it's important for us to recognize those things. He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, he says, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after having done everything to stand. He says, I want you to put on this armor so that you can stand in the day of evil. In the day of temptation, in the day of trial, in the day when it feels like everything is coming against you. And again, the enemy so often uses these opportunities when we're tired, when we're weak, when our kids are stressing us out, right? When we have no more rope to hang from, when we're at the end of our rope, when we've got everything is just coming against us. The Bible says that that's when the enemy wants to get in there, wants to attack. When I taught this last time, I put together a little guide about who is our enemy. We're going to throw that up on the screen. Just text warfare to that number up there, and you can get that guide. real quick, I'm going to go through the different pieces of the armor, and then we're going to have the worship team come back up. And we're going to end today by spending some more time in worship, because really, as we're going to see in the next couple minutes, this is how we win the battles, right? This is how we win the war. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so if you're struggling with something today, if there's something going on in your mind today, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is. So we need to get ourselves into a place where we are, where the Spirit of the Lord is. So the first one is the belt of truth. This is what keeps our, in modern day clothing, this is what keeps our pants up, right? It's the truth. It protects us from the embarrassment of getting something wrong, because we start to realize that there is an actual objective truth. So often in life, as you're going through and you're listening to media and movies, and I called out last time and I'll do it again, but Disney movies are you know, they have their good points, but this is one of the real things that Disney movies get wrong, and that is that the truth is inside of you. You just have to look inside, and you'll find the strength that you need. You'll find the purpose you need. You'll find the hope that you need. You'll find everything that there is to life is inside of you. And if you just trust yourself, if you just trust your heart, then you're going to get it right. But the Bible says that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. And that we cannot trust what's going on inside of us, because we've been corrupted. Because there's an enemy out there that's deceiving us. And so we have to have a source of objective truth, and that comes through the Word of God. So the belt of truth then, in the armor, it holds everything together. Everything relies on us understanding and knowing the truth. Because if we follow some guy named Jesus, but we never listen to what he says, and we never try to understand what he's saying to us, we're not really following Jesus, are we? Instead, we're following somebody else. Just happens to have the same name. The Bible says that Satan is a liar. And this is his tactic. This is what he tries to do, is he tries to tell us lies about our identity, about our value, about our future. He tries to come against us. There's all of these temptations, all of these things that come against us. And so what we see is when we have the belt of truth on, when we're getting into the Word of God, when we're constantly studying to understand and to know what the Word of God says, we see that it stabilizes us. That it brings us to a point where we don't have to have all of these highs and lows in life, but instead there's a foundation now, there's a structure to everything that we're going through, because we understand the truth. And so when there's a lie that comes against you that says you're not worth, that you're worthless, that says that you're never going to dig out of this hole, that says that God couldn't possibly love you and nobody else loves you either, when you see all of these lies coming against you, you start to respond by quoting the Word of God. And you start to respond by quoting and telling the enemy who God says that you are. For 40 days, Jesus wandered in the wilderness, right? We see this in Matthew chapter 3 or chapter 4. And he was hungry, he was tired, he was isolated. And at the end of 40 days, there was this voice that whispered to him. And it said, "You don't have to do this. God doesn't want you to suffer. God wants you to be happy. Why are you putting yourself through this, Jesus? God doesn't want this for you. Why are you even here? You're God. Use your divinity to take these stones right here and turn them into bread. And if you do that, then your physical needs, what you're going through, the hunger that you're feeling right now, is going to be satisfied." And so the enemy whispered to him and lied to him, tried to manipulate him, tried to get him to see tried to get him to step back from what God had called him to do. And Jesus, knowing the truth, being the truth, understood what God had called him to and what God wanted for him. And so Jesus, unwavering, he declares that no, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So Jesus knew that there was a source for him that was separate from what the enemy was trying to lie to him. The enemy was trying to tell him to take advantage of his position as God to turn these stones into bread. And Jesus said, no, because my Father has provided everything that I need. And I don't need to go outside of what God wants me to do. This is the exact same tactic that he used in the garden, right? Back in the garden, he looks at the woman and he says, God is holding out on you. If you eat this fruit, you're going to understand the difference between good and evil. He says, God has something that he's keeping from you. And so if you take this, then you can have it. And this is the same tactic the enemy is using here. He's saying, hey, God hasn't turned stones into bread for you yet, so I want you to take instead of just allowing God to give. I want you to take it. Same thing the enemy did so long ago. Same thing he tries to tell us to do now. We need to understand the schemes of the enemy so that we can combat the things that the enemy is trying to do in our lives. Undeterred, Satan persisted, and he took him away to the holy city. He put him high atop the temple. He looked out, and he said, Jesus, why are you hiding out in the wilderness? Why are you so far away from the people that God has called you to minister to? Let's take you up to the very top. And you know what would be really cool? If you threw yourself off of here and the angels grabbed you and gracefully brought you down to the ground, everybody would see and everybody would believe. You wouldn't have to go through the wilderness anymore. You wouldn't have to go through the trial anymore. Everybody would see it. And you could just do it right now. Let's just crown you king. You can stand here in the temple. You can sit on the throne. And that'd be it. You don't have to go through any of this other stuff. But Jesus again meets the challenge. He says, again, it's written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus knew the truth, and it helped him to walk. Finally, the tempter dragged him to a mountain so high that the entire world, the Bible says, lay stretched out before him. He could see everything that he had come to do. And the enemy whispered to him again, said, all of this, every kingdom, every glory, I will give it to you. I'm going to step back. I'll just stay in my corner over here. You can have it all, Jesus. You don't have to worry about it. You take it. You do it. All I need from you is to bow your knee. All I need is for you to bow your knee. And how often is that a temptation for us? How often does the enemy try and trick us in that way? Where, man, life can get hard sometimes. Sometimes finances don't stretch as far as you need them to. Sometimes there's not enough to go around. Sometimes there's not enough hours in the day, right, to get everything done. And so you're stressed and you're tired. Sometimes you just need somebody to talk to, but all your friends are off doing other things, and you're like, man, I just wish I had somebody. And the enemy comes to us in those moments. He said, I'll give you what you need. I got it for you right here. The thing that you're trying to accomplish, all I need you to do is bow your knee. What does that look like? What does it look like to bow your knee before the enemy? That's kind of what we're gonna touch on a little bit today. But it's the same idea as these flaming darts. It's the same idea as these lies that the enemy is trying to tell you. Because there's really two ways to live your life, right? You can live according to the word of God. You know, the Bible sets up this binary choice all the time. It's either the spirit or the flesh. It's either living by the truth or it's living by the lies. And anything we do where we are trying to take what God would freely give, where we are trying to pull it away from him, where we are trying to circumvent his process for our life, this is a lie that the enemy has for us. And this is what God wants to combat in us. So truth, belt of truth, keeps us stable. It helps set us on the right course. The breastplate of righteousness we talked about last week, and how this is important because righteousness is our right standing before God. It shows not just us, not just God, but it shows the world that we are right with God. And when we have the breastplate of righteousness on, the Bible says that our heart is protected. It's not about being perfect, but instead it's about living right with God through Christ. And so when temptation comes then, we're not fighting alone. We're not trying to battle alone, but instead we can trust. We can believe. We can know that God is with us. Because we carry his mark. Because he has called us and set us apart. But the truth is, if you don't know what God says about you, and if you don't know what his word says, then just like Jesus in the wilderness, you might start to listen to the lies of the enemy. Jesus knew, and so he spoke the truth, and he combated those lies right away. But for us, it's so important that we understand, because the enemy is going to say, did God really say? The enemy is going to challenge you. He's going to come after you. He's going to lie to you. He's going to show you the kingdoms of the world. He's going to tempt you. And it's going to be up to you to decide what you're going to do with those things. The next one was the shoes of the gospel of peace. This was about standing firm in Christ, because once you know the truth, once you start to understand how the truth affects your life and you are able to resist the temptation of the enemy, then we've got these shoes that help us to stand firm. But it's all based on this idea of truth, because peace comes through knowing who God is and who God is, knowing who God is and knowing what God says about you. This is how you get peace in your life. And we said that peace doesn't mean there's no chaos. But instead, it means we're grounded in the middle of the chaos, because the gospel gives us peace. When we understand who Jesus is, what Jesus did, what it means for us, then we can have peace. It doesn't matter what comes against us, because in the end, we know that we win. Amen? Come on. The gospel gives us peace. Next one. Okay, this is, sorry, we're going to have to go fast. Okay, the shield of faith. This is, the Bible says that it protects us against the flaming arrows of the evil one. And again, I think this is just the lies of the enemy that are trying to trick, trying to trap, trying to distract us, trying to keep us bound. Sorry. I got too many bookmarks in here. Okay. Here it is. So he says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Okay, we don't have time to do a long sermon right now on what faith is, but real quick, and you know, there's probably some holes in this analogy, but I think it works fairly well. Faith is like online shopping. Okay? How many of you guys have ever bought something on Amazon before? Okay. When you go through the process, you click the link, you select buy now, or you go into your shopping cart and you select buy. Isn't it amazing how that item immediately materializes on your desk next to you? Like, it's just poof, you click buy, it's there. No, that doesn't happen, does it? No, there's this period between buy and between receiving the package from Christina, our UPS driver. And thank you. She's at my house so often. She's like another one of our kids. It's crazy. Okay, so praise the Lord. There's a time period between when I click buy and when the package arrives where I have to have faith. Where there's something, where I've accessed something, I've clicked something, I've gotten confirmation. The beautiful thing about Amazon system and the beautiful thing about the Word of God is that when we're in that waiting time, there's a receipt that gets emailed to us, right? There's something that gets presented to us that shows us that the promise is on the way. That the thing that's been promised to us is ready to come. It's ready to be delivered. And so we can trust and we can know, in the same way that you trust Amazon, right? We can trust God to know that the promises that he said in here, the things that he has commanded, the things that he has promised are coming to you. And when the enemy comes against you, when the darts of the enemy come to try and lie to you, to say that God's not going to do it, that God's not going to come through for you, you can hold up that shield of faith against the darts of the enemy, and you can trust God that his promises are going to come to pass. Amen? Come on. So we can take God at his word. The Bible says that Hebrews 11:1, that faith is the confidence of what we hope for. And it's the assurance of what we do not see. It's understanding that when we clicked buy, that package is coming. It's understanding that when God promised it in his word, that it's going to come to pass. It's the confidence. It's the assurance that what we hope for is going to come to pass, even if we can't see it right now. Even if it didn't miraculously appear, we can trust him. We can believe him. And the Bible also says, Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why? Because anyone who comes to him, anyone who comes up to the altar, anyone who cries out to him, anybody who starts reading the Word of God, anybody who starts praying to God, first thing you have to do, you got to believe in him, right? If you're coming up here and you're like, hey, you know, I don't know. If you're coming up here, it's okay to be like, God, I don't know if you exist, but I'm here talking to you anyway, right? And there's some of you guys that are in that spot today. You're like, I don't know. I don't know if I can believe the promises. I don't know if I can believe these things. I don't know. Pastor Jeff's talking about all this truth, but I have all of these other ideas about what truth is, and it doesn't fit, doesn't line up with what the Word of God says. It's okay to approach Him with that. Because the beautiful thing, incredible thing about God is that He's big enough. He's big enough to handle our doubts. He's big enough to handle our frustrations. He's big enough to handle when we just kind of muddle through and just try and get through it. He's big enough. So take those things to Him. So he says, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must first believe that He exists, and second, you have to believe that He's going to reward you, that He wants to be with you, that if you earnestly seek after Him, that these promises are going to come to pass. That's what faith is. It's confidence. It's assurance. And when you have that faith, it doesn't matter what the enemy says to you. It doesn't matter the lies, because God is with you. So without faith, every negative thought hits hard. You start to believe that you're a failure. You start to believe that God's not going to come through. You start to believe that you should just give up. You start to believe all of these things, and your confidence crumbles. But with faith, your shield is up. Every negative thought is a reminder to you. Just like Jesus being challenged in the wilderness, it's a reminder that says, God has never failed me. That God is going to make a way. And so you start deflecting these lies with the promises of God. You start believing God. Hebrews 10:23 says that He who promised is faithful. That He is going to come through for you. And so we believe God. We trust God. And it doesn't matter the storms of life. It doesn't matter what's coming against you. We're going to believe. We're going to trust. We're going to have hope. And we're going to wrap up right there. So if the worship team can go ahead and join me. We got two more pieces of the armor. We'll do them next week. Praise the Lord. Worship team, go ahead and come on up here. I want us to take a few minutes now. We just had an incredible time of worship. We just had an incredible time of hearing from God. Hopefully, I'm trusting that God was speaking to you, even in my scatteredness, even in my, you know, even in my confusion, because ultimately, it's about the Spirit of God speaking to our hearts and talking to us and confirming us. Real quick, three ways that you know that God is speaking to you. Three ways that you know God is speaking to you. The first one is it has to line up with the Bible. How do you know if it lines up with the Bible? You've got to be in the Bible to understand if it lines up with the Bible. Okay? Has to line up with the Bible. The second thing is it's going to be confirmed by other people around you. So, sometimes God promises things in His Word, and we trust those things. Sometimes God asks us and tells us things that are outside of the Word of God. It might be where you're going to live, or where, what job you should get, or who you should marry, or things like that. A direction that God wants to give you in life. And when He starts speaking those things to you, we're going to first look at the Word of God and make sure that it lines up with the Word of God. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to talk to somebody who's walked this life a little bit longer than we have, that's walked with God a little bit longer than we have, that knows a little bit more about hearing God's voice than we do, and we're going to ask them. And the Bible says that there will be confirmation that comes through that. Now, sometimes the pastor gets it wrong. Sometimes the priest gets it wrong. Sometimes the mature believer gets it wrong. Sometimes we walk in the flesh too, even though we don't want to, even though we try not to. So there's a third way that comes. And the Bible says that we can have peace inside of us. That God's Spirit will give us peace. And it's a guard for our heart. In the same way we have a breastplate, in the same way we've got a shield, the Bible says that this peace is a guard for our heart. That it helps us to understand. It helps us to understand what God wants to do. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we're getting the Bible inside of us. We're getting the Word of God inside of us. We're understanding what God wants from us. And when we do that, what does the Bible say? It says, then you will be able to know what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So if you're struggling with a decision, if you're struggling with something inside of you, if you've got some areas, some challenges in your mental health, or you've been believing some lies or things like that, the Bible says that we want to allow the Word of God to transform us so that we can understand what His will is and so that we can come to see Him in everything that He has for us. I'm gonna go ahead and have the worship team lead us. I'm gonna open up the altars again. If you need prayer for anything, we're just gonna be up here. We're just gonna be spending time with our Father. We're just gonna be trusting Him and believing Him. God's got so much for you. But there's an enemy that's tried to manipulate us. There's a whole system of things happening in this world that are trying to convince you that you don't have to trust in God. It's enough to believe in yourself. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Trust your heart. It'll never lead you astray, right? These are the lies of the enemy. And God just wants so much for you. Father God, we bow our hearts before you right now. Lord, we come before you believing that God, you want to do great things. You want to do great things. God, you've got so much for us. So Father, we trust you. We lean on you. I just believe right now, there's some of you in here that for whatever reason, your heart has been hard. For whatever reason, you've been carrying some bitterness, carrying some frustration, carrying some disappointment around inside of you that has developed into a worldview that is critical. It's developed into a worldview that is harsh. And you don't even know why you say the things that you do. You don't even know why you seem to push everybody away. God wants to break that over you today. But there's a permission there that you need to give. You need to allow God to do the work. C.S. Lewis says that God is like a master sculptor. And every blow of his hammer is refining us into the image that God wants us to be, but every time he strikes the marble, it hurts. Every time it's cutting away something else from us. When we were at camp, I got this picture in my head. I was like, God, I want more. God, I want more of you. And I got a picture of a cup that was half filled with dirt. It was like, okay, I'll give you more, but first I need to empty you out. First, I need to take care of what's going on inside of you so that I can give you the more that you're asking for. I was like, God, increase my capacity. And he's like, it's already there. It's just deep. You got to do the deep work in order to see God move. You got to allow the transformation to happen. God has so much for you. He wants so much for you.